You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, founder and chief automation officer of Automation Bridge, the place online to learn about small business marketing and sales automation, where we focus on turning digital marketing professionals into automation service providers. And if you'd like to become one or find out more, please visit automationbridge.com/ASP. In today's episode, we're going to discuss mapping a tool. We're going to discuss a software to allow you to map and measure your marketing to improve the quality of service with Makil Dia. And Makil is a digital marketing expert and founder of Funnelytics, a software company helping entrepreneurs and marketers convert traffic into more profit. He's passionate about helping entrepreneurs scale their business in a faster and more efficient way. Makil developed a simple visual tool for entrepreneurs and marketers to understand the numbers in their marketing at a glance in order to easily fix the holes and optimize what's working. Had a great conversation with Makil. We talked about not just the software, but his journey there. And he's just a wealth of knowledge and dropped all types of nuggets to be mindful of when building software to serve marketers. All right. So before we get into it, let me just welcome you. If you're a first time listener, do me a favor and listen to this episode in its entirety before you subscribe and leave a 5-star rating and review, because I'm sure that you will after listening to this podcast. If you're a listener to the podcast and you have not subscribed yet, please do so. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe on YouTube. Anywhere where you get podcasts, we're there. So while you're at it and subscribing, if you haven't already, leave a 5-star rating and review. It would be greatly appreciated. If for whatever reason you cannot figure out how to leave a review or where, we have you covered. Go to automationbridge.com/review and we'll do all the heavy lifting for you. All right. So let's jump right into today's episode. Makil, welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you on, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Happy to be here. Happy to be on the podcast with you, Chris.
Yes, yes. And I'll give the listeners some insight. We've been playing a bit of text tag, you're it, for a couple of years. And the initial year that, you know, we initially had a meetup was the year the Raptors, you know, won the finals.
So, I got my championship Raptor shirt right here. I don't know if you noticed, I'm wearing it right now. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. That was a great year.
Oh man, what a classic year. So glad to have you on, man. I want to talk. I have so many people in my program, so many people in my community, so many people that I'm connected with that use Funnelytics or are confused at what Funnelytics is and how it does. Because it really is the tool became more required as digital marketing became more and more of a norm. And it does solve a burning issue. But before we get into it, like always, I want to give our listeners a bit of insight on your journey to where you're at now. So tell us about life pre-Funnelytics, you know, as the marketer. What were you always in the internet space marketing? Did you stumble upon it? What was life like beforehand?
Sure, man. How far back do you want me to go?
Let's do after you graduated.
All right. So I went into engineering, was my kind of degree in university, and civil engineering specifically. And I hated it. I mean, it was terrible. Like I knew by like the end of my first year that there is no way I'm going to be an engineer. However, I didn't want to start a new thing because I didn't know what I wanted to do at the time.
Yeah.
you know, you graduate high school at 16, 17, however old you are, and you're like supposed to know for sure what you're going to do your degree in. And then that's your career. And I'm like, okay, this is dumb. However, you know, I ended up graduating and getting my degree in civil engineering. And one of the things that I did right after was I started a t-shirt company with a few friends of mine. And it really wasn't much of a company. You know, we had t-shirts that we printed designs on and we tried to hustle and sell. However, like the thing that got me into the digital marketing space was we originally sold out of those t-shirts really, really quickly because it was me and my two buddies. We were fresh out of university. We had a bunch of friends, a pretty big network from that standpoint. So friends, family, all bought t-shirts. So we ordered a lot of t-shirts afterwards. Yeah. Like we thought, all right, well, if that's how easy it is to sell t-shirts, let's order a bunch more and get that discount, right? Because if you hit quantities, they come cheaper. So we ordered stacks. We got boxes of t-shirts. And it turns out that once your friends and family buy t-shirts, they don't want to buy again. So then we were like, oh, okay. How are we supposed to sell these things? And that's what kind of led me down this rabbit hole of how do you sell online? I literally Googled like, how do you sell online? And this was in 2009, maybe 2010.
Yeah.
And like Google had just kind of started doing the whole Slap thing. And you know, and at the time there were still tons of content that you could find where you fall into this rabbit hole of like, learn how to make $10,000 a month from the beach, you know, with just a laptop and an internet connection. And I was like, all right, well, I don't like being an engineer. So I'd much rather sit on a beach and make $10,000 a month. Like, so let's figure that out. Let's go down that path. Mm-hmm. So I ended up buying ebooks, courses, all sorts of stuff. I learned about SEO. And at first it started off with like affiliate marketing, building out little review websites. Then it went into learning, you know, about like ranking articles on Google through SEO. Then I went into PPC and paid advertising on Google and then Facebook. And then eventually I got into the whole concept of funnels. Yeah, I mean, the rest is history. It took me a long time to figure out how it actually all works and how this whole puzzle fits together. However, it all started from that concept of trying to sell these t-shirts online. And that started the journey. I mean, yeah, from there, I ended up, I started a Mandarin language school. I moved to London to the UK. I started a Mandarin language school. I started a language app. And then I ended up growing a digital marketing agency, and that was my first seven-figure business. And from the marketing agency stemmed Funnelytics.
Oh man, so much juice there. I did not know you were an engineer, man. So I'm an electrical engineer.
Are you?
I actually enjoy my studies though. I did enjoy studying electrical. My wife is a civil.
Okay.
And she had a similar experience to you. Like, it's like, I could complete this, but I don't really like doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, as soon as I completed, I was like, I worked. It's funny, man. I worked as an engineer for 6 months, I think. And after graduating, and literally, you know, do you know AutoCAD? AutoCAD drawings. I would drive, like, I live in downtown Toronto, and my job was like outside of the city, but if you've ever been in Toronto traffic, it's ridiculous. So I would drive an hour and a half in the morning sitting in traffic, sit in front of my computer for 8 hours doing AutoCAD drawings of roads and bridges and all that stuff, and then I would drive an hour and a half back to my condo in Toronto, and after 6 months I'm like, screw this, I'm gonna figure out something else, because I'm not doing this for 20 years.
Yeah, no, that I made it a bit longer. I made it 2 years where I actually enjoyed it. And then like the latter five, so seven total, I was just like, how do I get out of it? But I didn't know, like there was nothing. It sounds like I was searching just a couple years before you, because my search started around You said 2010. Mine started right around 2009, 2008-ish.
Yeah, mine's around there too. It's hard to pinpoint exactly.
Right. I just remember Pat Flynn having like a blog, and I was like, this guy makes money writing words on the internet? How does that work, you know? Yep. So for you, Mikhail, what was that transition point from your engineering to your freelance? Was that just a decision? You were like, look, I'm out. I'm done.
No, you know what? I think the main thing is, so it started off with the desire to make money online, right? And that's a very, very like poor way to word it, because everybody talks about making money online. However, making money online is not a business. Making money online is not starting something. It's just, you know, it's this arbitrary thing of like, you're making money somehow. I remember I used to sell, I don't know if these even still exist. I assume they do. I used to sell solo ads, and I used to be like, so solo ads is basically, I would find somebody who has a really large email list.
Okay.
And I would broker a deal with that person who has a really large email list. And I would go to somebody who has an offer, and I would say, okay, you can send out an email to this list. We'll guarantee you 1,000 clicks to, and you pay say 40 cents a click. So it's $400. We'll send out the email with your link in it. And there you go. Right. And I used to broker these deals.
Yeah.
And I would make a good amount of money doing this, right? So like, this is make money online. It means nothing. It's not a business. It's like opportunities for you to make some cash, right?
Yeah.
But I realized like, A, that's not sustainable. You can't really just make money online. Like, you've got to build something. Even all of these people teaching you drop shipping or any of that stuff, it's like, when you look at it, the real way they're making money is by building a coaching business on how to do drop shipping.
Yeah.
Right. That's really the real business behind, and that's the real engine behind what they're doing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if they were just making millions of dollars freely, they're certainly not setting up a coaching business on the side because they just love coaching people. Like, it's
right.
You know,
right.
So what I found is that if you truly want to build a business, you've got to understand all aspects of it, right? Like, marketing is just a piece of the puzzle. Like, you've got to realize that the marketing side is, yes, the heartbeat, the engine. Like, you've got to make sales for sure. You've got to exchange dollars for value. But at the end of the day, it transitioned more into entrepreneurship. So as I started understanding how all these pieces fit together, I started getting a lot of expertise in marketing. However, marketing is not a business either, right? Marketing is a component of a business. It's a pillar to drive that business forward. So I had to start learning all the other aspects, right? What does it take to do to not just attract customers, but how do you close them? How do you sell customers? How do you actually deliver value? You know, what does that look like? What type of value are you delivering? How do you retain these customers? A software company versus a Mandarin language school versus a coaching business versus, info products, all very different value propositions, all different ways to deliver value, all different ways to attract customers, to close them, et cetera. And then that's not even to mention the component of like people, right? If you really want to build a business, you know, I have a friend of mine who says, you know, Biggie says more money, more problems, but he says it's not more money, more problems. It's more people, more problems, right? Like, that's really what it comes down to, is like, the more people you have around you and the more people you have to take care of, the more problems you have.
Yeah.
So all of these things over the course of from like that transition of engineering, these are all things that piled up and on and on. And as I started to unveil, what does it really take to build, you know, a 7-figure business, even an 8-figure business, like, how did all these things layer on and pile on? And and it started with this very blindsided, these blinders of, let's make money online. Let's get a stranger to pull out their credit card and pay for something. Yeah. That's where it started. And it kind of grew from there.
Yeah, that's a great synopsis, man. Making money online and building a business are not one and the same.
No.
You know, not at all. It starts there. You know, most people, that's where they start. That's the question mark, the big sexy, right? Like, ooh, money online. And then it's like, well, after you make that money, it needs a model. You need a business model to do something with that money, because if you're just making it, that's not a business. And you can't sustain that, right? So we've got the backdrop, which makes sense to me a little bit now. Like, you were always involved in some form of visual representation before the creation of a thing, even, you know, in the engineering days. So now fast forward to Funnelytics. Give the audience a synopsis, an overview of what is Funnelytics and what drove you to create the software.
Yeah, no problem, man. So let's take a step back to when I was running my agency. So I ran my agency from 2014 to 2018 when I launched Funnelytics, and then I stopped. And while I was running my agency, we used to do the same thing over and over again, right? And every marketer goes through the same motion, or marketing team, I should say. Usually when you're starting off, you're wearing all the hats, meaning you're doing the strategy, you're doing the actual build, you're doing the actual like analysis and seeing whether or not it's working. And then you're figuring out where to optimize and all that stuff. But what I just outlined there is the same all the time, right? So It always starts with a plan. And as you've mentioned in the past, like, usually you'll start with a whiteboard, or you'll start with a lucid chart or a diagramming tool or PowerPoint presentation, but you're just mapping out a plan, a funnel, right? I'm going to take Facebook. I'm going to send that traffic over to a landing page. When they get to that landing page, they're going to put in their name and email, and then they're going to get a sequence of emails, and that's going to go over here. And then there's going to be retarget. Mm-hmm. So you map out this entire plan on a whiteboard, wherever it is. Okay. Then you've got to go to the next phase, which is, okay, I've got to build this out, right? I've got to go and build all of these pieces. So I use ClickFunnels, or I use ActiveCampaign or MailChimp or LeadPages or all of the thousands of tools that are coming out in the market constantly to build these things. I need to send text messages. Okay, I'm going to use Twilio or whatever it is, right?
Yep.
I need to set up my Facebook ads. I need to write copy. I need to do all of these pieces so that this plan is now live, right? Things are on the internet. It's out there. We can start sending traffic to this and we can see what happens. So then once you've built, you move on to the next phase. So I call this the launch phase. So first is the plan, then it's the launch phase. After you launch, then you go on to the next phase, which is measure. So everyone does the same thing. We need to figure out whether or not this is working, right? So I'm going to start sending traffic to it, whether it's Facebook ads, or maybe I've got some organic traffic or maybe I'm doing outreach. It doesn't matter, right? But I'm sending traffic to it, and I've got to measure the performance of this plan, right? However, I'm looking at charts, graphs, spreadsheets, basically rows and columns to try and understand whether or not my plan that I mapped out on a whiteboard is actually working, but I have to try to decipher these charts and graphs to see how these two things correlate. The problem is Facebook is going to tell you one thing. Google Analytics is going to tell you some other thing. Then you've got your Stripe account that's going to tell you some other revenue. And then you've got MailChimp who's telling you that this stuff is happening. So you've got all of these data points from all these different places that you're trying to tie together to understand back to this diagram. And none of them are actually, like, the diagram that I put together is not linear, right? So there's multiple traffic sources, there's multiple retargeting points, emails, there's things are happening dynamically, yet charts and graphs are linear, right? They're meant to be step one, step two, step three, or you have to interpret them in kind of that linear fashion. So I kept running into that same problem of like, man, how can I communicate to my clients that my plan, like the performance of this plan specifically, right? How can I communicate that in a way that they can understand, and in a way that my team can also understand, so that we're all aligned and I don't have to be the hire a data analyst to tell me what the hell's happening.
Yes.
So Funnelytics was born out of that problem, out of that connection. How can I take a map, a drawing, a plan, and overlay the data on it so I can instantly see where the bottlenecks are? So it was very simple, which is, wouldn't it be cool if I could take my whiteboard, put it on a canvas on my computer, similar to a Miro or a Lucidchart, except everything that is on there is very much marketing driven, right? So it's marketing icons, my pages, my traffic sources, my actions. And when I connect it together, I could just click a button and it would overlay all of my data. I could see my conversion rates. I could see how many people landed on this particular step. I could see the flow. I could see where the drop-off points are. I could visually see what's working versus what's not. That's where the idea of Funnelytics came about. And that's basically what we built, a tool that allows you to map out your strategy and overlay your analytics data and explore how are people flowing through, you know, the journeys that people are going through on your website through this canvas environment as opposed to charts and graphs.
Yeah. And I have to give you props here because I've been a user of Funnelytics. Maybe I don't think I was part of the launch, but it was fairly early. And I remember at the inception of it, it was just like pages and simple icons.
Yep.
And then it's evolved into having that data layer. You've got forecasting in there, KPIs. You've got more icons. Just talk a little bit about the patience. I know you as the CEO, you saw it. It's like, look, this is what Funnelytics is. Okay, we'll start here because oftentimes people want to start at the end, like with their vision. What was that like for you to say, okay, this is a good start, not the full vision, we'll get there, but we'll start version one and maybe by version 10, we're there.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, we're the vision is still there. Like we're nowhere near where, like my vision is still a good 3 to 5 years from where we are today. It's tough, man. It's tough to disconnect vision and reality, right? So you can easily draw out a vision in your mind of like, okay, this is what my program is going to be, or this is what my platform is going to look like, and this is what I want it to do. But then reality sets in and it's like, okay, well, I've got one engineer who only can work a total of 8 hours a day, and this one feature is going to take 160 hours. And this is one of like the 300 features that I think this platform should do. So now you got to sit down and say, okay, well, how do I prioritize this? How do I decide what is first, what is second, what is, you know, last? And it's not easy. It's not easy to make those types of decisions. It's easy to say, this is where I want the business to be, or this is where I want my tool or my platform or whatever. I want it to be here in X amount of time, but the steps to get there, there's really an unlimited number of combinations of ways that you can possibly get there, right? Yep. So my philosophy is always iterate fast, right? So when I kind of talk about that motion of plan, launch, measure, the last piece of that, which every marketer does, is optimize, right? So once you measure, you've got to make some decisions and you've got to decide, okay, what am I tweaking to try and improve this, right? Absolutely. That's the optimization phase. And then you cycle through, right? So you optimize and then you plan and you make a new plan, you build whatever you've set out for your optimization. Then you go and measure and you optimize and you keep going through that cycle. Yeah. The question is, how fast can you move through that cycle, right? If you're planning and building, right, for a year, but you don't have anything to measure, then you're just building off of your gut, right? You're building off of your intuition as to, okay, well, it needs all of these things in order for somebody to start using it, in order for me to start establishing a benchmark. The easiest way to solve it is by flipping it, by saying, okay, how can I plan this feature, build it as quickly as possible in a prototype version so that I can actually start measuring to see whether or not people care about this. So then I can make iterations on that feature and improve it if they even care about it. Because I'll be honest, when I first launched Funnelytics, I had no clue if people cared. No clue. Like I was just like, I just want this for myself. Like I just want this for my clients and for myself.
Yep.
So I launched the mapping tool, the canvas, for free. And I had no clue whether or not people cared. I just, all right, well, let's just launch it. And it was a buddy of mine. His name is Scott Olford. He's the one who kind of pointed out, and he's like, you should really launch this mapping tool. I was like, yeah, but I'm building like this analytics feature and all these things. And I was stuck in that kind of plan and build mode. Wow. Right. And he's like, just see if people like this mapping tool, because I think this mapping tool is really cool. Just give it away for free and then upsell people onto the analytics. So I was like, all right, well, fine. And as I did that, we started seeing data. We started seeing that, you know, various requests, right? Oh, can you do this? Or can we add this? And things that I'd never even thought about, things that weren't at all in that kind of product roadmap, but allowed me to shape the tool and allowed me to kind of iterate. So that's the best way I can explain is just go through that cycle as quickly as you possibly can. Plan, launch, measure, optimize. Plan, launch, measure, optimize. Don't plan for a month and then launch for another 8 months. And then, you know, how quickly can you move through that cycle? Because you'll learn fast.
Yeah. And what I really like about what you said is optimize around what people care about. Mm. Don't assume, don't force people to care about something, you know, put it out there, go through the cycles. And when it comes to optimization, which is very difficult to do without measuring, right? You need data to help you determine what's what. Because I know a lot of times my time in the startup space, the tech startup space, it's also a balance of what people are saying they want and you identifying like, okay, not just what we can do, but is what they're saying, is it a one-to-one of what we can deliver? Because sometimes it'd be like, hey, we want this feature when in actuality, it's something else that's lacking or missing that if you provide that, it inherently solves that problem, right? Yep. So it's always this balance that I found with listening to people. I think most software fails when they don't have a vision and their vision is whatever their audience tells them.
Agreed. Right?
Like whatever the whatever the customer says. Like,
you can't have, you know, again, this goes back to that famous quote from Henry Ford, right? If he asked customers what they wanted, they'd say faster horses, right?
Yep.
Like
yep.
you can't innovate with that by asking people what they want. Otherwise, they would be the innovators, not you, right? So you've got to innovate by focusing on how you see the world and how you see that you can change things. We have a very, very specific vision here at Funnelytics that people don't need to be data analysts and data scientists in order to understand what's working versus what's not. Like you can reimagine how to look at data, how to look at your analytics to derive insights. However, I still need, it's a balance, as you said, I still need feedback from my customers.
Yeah.
And I've got to take that feedback and I've got to ask myself, does this feedback line up with our vision, right? Here does this go. Feedback line up with where we want to go? Or is it going to take us in a completely different direction? Because there's lots of things we could do with Funnelytics. Like it's a canvas at the end of the day, right? So I could easily build a planning tool where you could go and add your whole team and start, you know, now it becomes a project management tool where you plan your projects around the actual map. We could build a way to pass data. There's lots of stuff that we could do with Funnelytics. Question is, does it line up with your vision? And are you moving towards that direction, right? And you can't be everything for everyone. Now, easier said than done, I will tell you that, right? Like we have about 1,500 right now, like as of, you know, recording this, we've got 1,500 people signing up to Funnelytics every week. And like, I can't be everything to all 1,500 of those people, goodness, right?
Right.
However, it's very, very difficult to cut out the noise and to know precisely who are we building this thing for, especially when I first started, I didn't even know who I was building it for to begin with. I was building it to solve my own problem. So when all of these people started coming up, was like, I really don't know who this is for, right? Like, it's like, this guy's a strategist and a solo marketer. This person works for a Fortune 500 company and is an optimizer. This person's a media buyer and wants to spend more money on Facebook ads. And they're looking for this and he's looking for that and they're looking for this. I'm like, but you all came in for this one canvas. And it's like, you've got to really kind of be selective with your feedback process, because you can't build for everybody.
Yeah, I can't help but draw parallels. You know, we're talking about software, but it really applies to if you're a service provider or you have a physical product, this process that you have to go through where you're not going to know the perfect audience getting started. You're not going to have the perfect pricing model. You're not going to know what they really care about. You're not going to know any of this. And I run into so many entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, I'll say, that really drives them crazy. They spend so much time trying to get some certainty instead of just go through it. Go through the process, get it wrong, get it right, tweak it, you know, measure it, like you said. And then you'll end up finding, okay, the vision that I had, I can see it for this audience. Now let's make that shift, which you guys are in the middle of doing. So tell us about this. What's next for Funnelytics?
Yeah, that's a good question. So as we started with Funnelytics, we really, again, kind of went out to the market that I knew and I was part of, right? Which is solo entrepreneur, startup, call it, you know, the ClickFunnels crowd, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a massive Russell Brunson fan. I studied him for years and years, way before he even had ClickFunnels. However, the market that they're after and the people that they're helping are startup entrepreneurs, right? They're brand new to entrepreneurship. And that's who we were really speaking to, because that's who I kind of was, right? I have a small agency, small business, etc. However, as we've grown and as we've evolved Funnelytics, as we've realized that, we're still a small business, but we're shifting towards being more of that kind of mid-market. We have a lot of data, more employees, etc. We started to realize that, number one, the market that we're currently serving is, there's a disconnect between where our vision really is as an analytics platform versus where they're at in their journey as marketers and as entrepreneurs, right? Yeah. As businesses. So we need to start thinking about who really, really gets the value of that proposition that we have, right? So an interesting statement that really, really made me realize this was something called, it's from a book called Obviously Awesome by a lady named April Dunford.
Okay.
And she's an expert in positioning. And she gave me an analogy. I'll share the analogy in just a minute. However, positioning is defined by a set of value, like a specific value that a very specific customer cares a lot about. Okay. So if you break down that sentence, there's a few things to consider there. The main one being cares a lot about, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at where we are as a company, we're an analytics tool serving businesses that don't have much data to analyze, right? So when you think about that, you're like, actually, we're building something for the wrong market. We're building something because they don't care a lot about the analytics layer, right? And it kind of made me start to realize that we need to shift A, our positioning, but B, who we go and talk to and who we serve. I'll give you an analogy from April that really made me realize this.
Okay.
So imagine you bake a new type of cake, right? A new baked good. And it's kind of like a hybrid between a muffin and an actual cake.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you heard this before?
No, I haven't. No? I'm just okay. Ready.
Okay. So it's made of flour. It's got chocolate in it. It's sweet. And now you've got a very critical decision to make. You've got to decide, where are you going to categorize it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because everything that you choose, whatever you make as a decision, is going to define everything that your customers perceive. So let's talk about it, right? If I were to categorize it as a muffin, okay, how much is a muffin?
Mm-hmm.
How much?
Much cheaper than a cake. Are you
so like
maybe 89 cents to $1.59, 79 ish.
When do you eat a muffin?
In the morning.
Where do you buy a muffin?
For a snack, at the bakery, at the gas station, right? Grocery store.
What is the what is the competition to a muffin?
Maybe a donut.
Donut, right? Maybe cookies. A bagel.
Yep, bagel.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, what about a cake? Let's flip it. Now, a cake, where do you buy a cake?
Yeah, you there's cake stores, right?
When do you eat a cake?
Birthdays, events.
How much does a cake cost?
Much more, man. Oh, whoo, more? They can get up their average cake maybe $5.99 to $10 if you want the basic one at the grocery store that you just need happy birthday on it, right?
What's a what's a competitor to a cake?
Let's see. Still cookies, cupcakes.
Cupcakes now. Yeah. Pies.
Yep. Pies. Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
So all of a sudden and you'll eat. Yeah. Like you said, on a birthday, et cetera, the same product, right? It's still made of flour. It's still a baked good. It's got chocolate in it. It's sweet. By me categorizing it as a muffin, I've instantly told the marketplace that it should be priced at this. This is how I should classify it. This is where I buy it. And this is what it smells like and looks like and all that stuff. If I classify it as a cake, this is the category that it falls under. This is what it is. Yeah. So by you understanding that concept, you can kind of go and say, okay, where do we fit in the market, right? This product that helps you see your marketing data and analyzes your marketing data. However, if I classify it as a funnel marketing tool, or if I classify it as a marketing analytics tool, or if I classify it as a customer journey platform, all of a sudden it instantly triggers different thoughts as to what it is, right?
That's correct.
A marketing analytics tool, well, does it have reports? Does it have dashboards? Because instantly I'm thinking, if you're a marketing analytics tool, you need these things, right? If you're a funnel tool, well, do you build funnels? Do you build landing pages? Like, instantly I'm thinking that that's what it should do, because that's what the crowd or the market tells me. So you've got to start asking yourself these types of questions when you're positioning your product and your service, because the same product or service can be positioned in a multitude of different ways. But it is extremely important to make that call and make that decision. And that's why it's so important to kind of go through that cycle of plan, launch, measure, optimize as fast as possible, because you may not get it right, right? If you spend all of your time planning and saying, this is 100% a, you know, marketing automation tool, and you keep attacking the market, however, it's actually not, and it's the rest of the world kind of sees it as something else, you're not going to be able to grow, right?
Yeah.
We're kind of in that same boat right now with Funnelytics. We've realized that we're really, yes, an analytics tool, but what we really are is a performance analytics tool. We look at the performance of your website's conversion rates. By us thinking about that, and by positioning ourselves as performance customer journeys, understanding the flows that people go through in order to get to the purchase, that's a very, very different proposition than a funnel marketing tool, right?
Yeah, it speaks
to a very different crowd, right? Who uses the term customer journey versus funnels, right? Customer journeys are people who have customers first and foremost, right? Yes. Otherwise, if you don't have customers, you don't care about the journeys.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the transition, and that's the shift that we're going through as a company, is understanding who are our core customers that truly care about what we're building. Right. That's the key here.
I love it, man, because, you know, I'm still thinking about your baked goods, right? You have all of these materials, and you, as the CEO, you can literally bake whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Right? And perhaps there's something that you make that the industry loves, the market loves, but you don't enjoy making it.
Yep.
Right? Or there's something that you like and the market likes, but the effort that it takes to get it to the market, you're like, I don't like that. Right. Yep. So it's also with these raw materials, the how. So you've got a scalable model in SaaS, which says, okay, I can easily go to the masses. That's fine. That's good. But who really is best now that I'm familiar with this creation? I always think of it like babies. I always talk about like automations, like the first time you build automation, it's this little bitty baby automation. And then as contacts go through it, it matures, it starts to show its holes and you can, you know, fill the holes and now it becomes this mature automation. And it's the same, right? You've got this idea, you've got this software and it's a little bitty baby. And then as users use it more and more, not only do you get feedback from them, but you get to look at it now as a more grown, established entity and say, you know what? You're actually bigger than I thought. Like you grew faster than I realized and you're actually taller. So no, I'm not going to have you go here. You're going to go play sports.
Yeah, you're like exactly. 6'5".
There you go. Get over here. I initially thought I'd have a kid be maybe my height and just be good at regular stuff. But no, you've got some height. Go to the NBA.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, right? Like you saw it and you're like, wait a minute, funnel it. No, it's good for this crowd. And I can't. We talked about it before this podcast. And I just want you to touch on it. Did you feel any level of any capacity, some abandonment or disingenuous nature towards the small business, knowing that you're going a bit more upmarket? Because I hear that a lot from SaaS companies, like, no, we're strictly for small, you know, this and that. And it's okay, you know. So was that something that you struggled with, or was it just like, look, this is where we're going and that's it? Who's on the boat is on the boat.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, we're still going through that transition of up market, right? We're still figuring out exactly where we need to move up market and all how that looks like. So from that transition standpoint, we haven't fully, you know, abandoned the small businesses or anything like that just yet. However, you know, you've got to make a decision as a CEO as to what are you truly trying to solve, right? Like, you know, yeah. Building a business is about solving problems. Even if you're selling a course, you're selling a product, you're selling anything, you're solving a problem. You're giving somebody value in exchange for their hard-earned money, right?
Yes.
But where can I give you the most value? Right? Can I give you value? If you're a small startup and you've got literally no traffic to your website, can I really give you value even if you pay me $99 a month? No, because our tool is meant to give you insights on your data and to measure the performance of your data or your marketing, and you've got no data to measure. So I'm not giving you any value at $99 a month, mm-hmm. right? However, if you've got 1 million visitors a month to your website and I charge you $2,000 a month, let's say, to help you, can my tool and what we've built help you find ways to optimize that 1 million visitors a month? Yes, really, really quickly.
Right.
To the point where you're going to gladly pay me a lot more than $2,000 because a small little uplift will generate you significantly more money on the back end, right? By understanding that data and by getting insights from that data. So you've got to understand that you're in the business, like as entrepreneurs, we're in the business of exchanging value, right? Giving value to a consumer or another business, right?
Yep.
And in order for us to understand that, we've got to understand, well, who cares about that thing the most, right?
Yeah.
That's the key there, right? And that's why I go back to that sentence from April. It's like, who cares about it a lot, right? Mm. I can't get you to care about it no matter what, because you're small and you just don't have any data. There's not much I can do, right? Like I can abandon you all I want, or it feels like I'm abandoning you. But the reality is the value of Funnelytics will come when you're bigger than a startup.
Yeah.
Right. That's it. And that's just all it is. What it comes down to.
I love it, man. You've got to grow, man, and you can't be afraid of growth and what it brings. And here's what I've learned is that most of the complaints when a company grows are from people who are not.
Always. You know,
It's like, no, don't do this. Why are you upcharging? And you could listen to that, but then you, if you really pay attention, I know you do, you look at the data and you say, whoa, look at this success that our customers are getting. And those people who are complaining, they're really the ones who aren't moving much and probably aren't a good fit for your tool anyway, because like you said, they don't have much performance to put into it, right? They don't have much data to analyze, you know?
That's it, man. That's it.
Yeah, man. So, man, this was great. I hope my hopes with this was to give insight, you know, of course, to a platform that I use and I talk all the time about mapping out. You've taken it to the next level, which I did not see in the beginning. And I'm so glad that you did, because what is the map without being able to understand the performance of what you just mapped out?
Exactly.
Right. So being able to do that, man, you're so early. The digital marketing landscape is still early and it's evolving. And I'm looking forward, man, to seeing how you guys continue to add to the platform and make it stronger. I know this is probably the most straightforward question that I could ask, but if people want to find out more about you and your software, where should they go?
Yeah, go to funnelytics.io. And sign up to a free, play around with the free mapping tool. And that's it, man. If you want to learn more about everything that we do, just most of it is there.
Great, great. Funnelytics.io. And I'll give you a personal shout out, Mikhail. I'm connected with you on LinkedIn and I enjoy your short videos on marketing and growing a business. So if you want to get some good content in your LinkedIn feed, feel free to connect there as well. I'll have all of the links in the show notes. Mikhail, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast, man. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the All Systems Go podcast. Did you enjoy just learning about the journey, the tool itself, right? The importance of mapping, right? Mapping your marketing, as well as that nugget that he dropped on positioning. Oh, man, that was great when he talked about the raw materials. You could build with it what you will and what you decide to build, whatever the going rate in the market is going to set the value before you even put a price tag on it. These conversations, I have to say, I am enjoying thoroughly with these founders because they just give you a greater level of insight into what it takes to build the software that you're using and relying on in your business and your clients. So who needs to hear this? Let me ask you this. How many marketing consultants or marketing automation consultants do you know that are using some form of mapping tool? Now, in full disclosure, Funnelytics is great for mapping the page flow. He said that, right? Map and understanding what's working, how your website is working. What about the logic flow? Right? What about the variety of other maps that are required? Do you know a marketing automation consultant or professional that is not supplying these things? Please make sure that you get this episode to them post haste. If you are a owner, a CEO, and you have not seen a map of any form of what you're doing, A, request it, B, send this to your marketer for some simple checks and balances. Okay. And if you found value in today's episode, make sure you share it. And here is where I make my formal invitation for you to subscribe. If you have not already, if you're a first time listener, this is my invitation to you. Welcome and welcome to the family permanently. Hopefully you will subscribe and join the small business owners, savvy entrepreneurs and marketing automation professionals that get this type of teaching, this type of conversation, this type of value every week, every Thursday. So make sure you join and leave a 5-star rating and review. Here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated to training digital marketing professionals to become automation service providers. Simply put, we want to help you put the automated systems in place for your business. Okay. Gone are the days and times and frustration of you trying to do it yourself. It's just not going to work. Let's just be honest. Okay. But if you want somebody to do it for you, or if you want to be that person that does it for businesses, for a living, a lucrative living, by the way, I want you to go to automationbridge.com/ASP and take the next steps to talk to myself or someone on my team to assess if you'd be a good fit for any of our current program offerings. More importantly, the Automation Service Provider Program, where we give you structured curriculum to make sure that you are fit to provide the service of automation at an excellent level. That's what the business owners need. That's what we're creating. If that's you, if you desire to do so, go to automationbridge.com/ASP. We're also accepting guests for the podcast. So if you're a SaaS founder of a marketing or sales software, as Mikhail is, we'd love to discuss your software and journey. Let our audience learn about some tools that they can be leveraging for themselves as well as their clients. And if you're a marketing automation consultant, experience any level of success with your clients and you like to share with our collective audience, please. If you're a SaaS founder or a marketing automation consultant and you want to be on the podcast, go to automationbridge.com/guest. Let no grass grow under it. That's another way of saying act now. Okay. There are businesses that are in need of somebody to build their automated systems. That need is growing by the day. Okay. If you want to be a part of the solution, please take up your mantle and say, I'm ready to become an automation service provider. And I'm going to automationbridge.com/ASP. All of the show notes and podcasts are accessible at automationbridge.com/podcast. You can go there and listen to all other episodes at your leisure. So until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.